1,800 to 2,200, west side.
Corner office.
Yeah, there goes.
Yes?
No. Me tengo otras casas.
I wouldn't say that, but I haven't seen you for some years.
Yeah.
Things might have changed.
You might have gone down.
So I can start?
See.
All right, we're gonna go ahead and get started. Welcome, everybody. I'm calling this meeting to order at 5:34. Can I get a roll call, please?
Jaime Tadeo?
Here.
Kay Calhoun?
Here.
Carlos Montillo?
Present.
Nancy Huff?
I'm here.
Jerry Flannery? Dan Gomez?
He's absent.
We have four for four.
Thank you. Moving on to agenda number two. Approval of legal action report in minutes of April 15, 2025. Can I get a motion?
I'll move that we accept and we approve the legal action report in minutes from April 15, 2025.
Second.
Can I get a roll call, please?
Jaime Tadeo?
Aye.
Annabel Muñez? Kay Calhoun?
Aye.
Nancy Huff?
Aye.
We have three for four? Three for approval.
Thank you. Moving on to agenda number three, report from chairperson, information only. I don't have any updates for the board other than I'm still working on gathering the hours for especially for Carlos to want to make sure you get on this board.
Say that again?
Looking into your hours.
Yes.
For your completion.
Yeah.
So you can get on the board.
Okay.
Okay. Now, moving on to agenda number four, TPD presentation, use of electronic detection K-9 in law enforcement, presented by Gail Warren, forensic scientist, the third, and K-9 partner Zona.
We are looking into the arrival of the puppy.
Yeah.
So if you want to move on and puppy shows up sometime before you guys adjourn, up to you if you want to schedule this.
All right. Did I say that correctly? Forensic?
It's three.
Three, just three, not the third?
Not the third. There's different levels.
Okay, cool.
It's yours, yeah.
Good to know. We're doing agenda item number five, call to the audience. At this time, the community may address the board with their concerns. The board may not address the specific concern at this meeting. However, the board may, at its discretion, make it a future agenda item at which time there can be a discussion. Community members are asked to address the board, not a specific member. Each person is limited to 3 minutes. Right?
Mr. Chair? The city clerk's office did not receive any communication.
Okay. Thank you. Moving on to item number six, review of TPD investigations in accordance with section 10A-88F of the mayor and council mandate. The board may only review those charges specified in the investigation in order to comment on the fairness and thoroughness of the internal investigation and to report any concerns regarding the investigation to those specified in the mandate. Number one is case number 23-0416, and this is about the case. The complainant was about an abandoned vehicle that got towed. Complaint seeks damages of $4,700. Any comments or questions?
Well, I'll speak up and say that it was unfortunate that the CSOs seemed to fall a little short on what they should have done correctly. And it was wonderful that the towing company took pictures and had proof that the car was already damaged before Gary's Towing took it away. So I'm sure the CSO's learned a lesson, as we all do when somebody drops the ball, and a little bit. This wasn't major, and nobody was hurt, but, you know, it involved somebody and their car, and an unpleasant situation where, and again, they were gracious to offer to push it onto the property, and they refused, or the owners of the car and the property didn't, or the truck and the property didn't want to do that. So anyway, it was just really great that the towing company took the pictures and they had evidence, and that everybody learned a lesson from this. That's sort of my take on it all.
Yes, thank you. What about Kate? Any comments? Questions? No? All right.
No, I think it was very thorough.
All right. Can I get a motion? Oh, do I move?
Also, a motion to identify case number 23-0416 as fair and thorough.
I second that.
Can I get a roll call, please?
Emmett Valeo?
Aye.
Annabel Nunez? Kate Calhoun?
Aye.
Nancy Huff?
Aye.
Passes by three.
All right, thank you. Moving on to case number 24-0038. This is the case about the person who was arrested. He was slammed against the patrol office, allegedly, and I think this is the one that, oh yeah, with the missing brass knuckles. Yeah. I like the fact that he was, you know, nice enough to remove the complaint once he realized, you know, the issues and he has the comment.
Yeah.
But even though he retrieved or recanted the concern, the investigation was still like very thorough.
Yeah, and again, this is one of those could have been avoided, unfortunate, because, and luckily we had a BWC to watch and see that the officer actually put the brass knuckles in the glove and gave them to the roommate, and so it wasn't that he had taken them. And he later apologized, and, you know, we had the BWC. I remember years ago when I was on 2016, not everybody had a BWC. So it's really helpful now when there is, you know, the footage of really what happened. And it was good that he did step up and apologize.
Yeah, absolutely. Kate, any comments, concerns, questions? No? Okay. I move to make case number 24-0038 fair and thorough.
And I'll second.
Can I get a roll call, please?
Emmett Valeo?
Aye.
Annabel Nunez? Kate Calhoun?
Aye.
Nancy Huff?
Aye.
Passed by roll call vote of 3-0.
Thank you. Moving on to case number 24-0119. Complainant was referencing Sergeant Reagan's driving behavior. And I promise I get a list of these cases and I do not get to see what they're about. Just FYI, because these are so easy. Yeah, and quick. Any comments, concerns?
Well, and in this case, there was no BWC because it was just an officer in his car. And it amazes me, all you TPD folks, because I've done ride-alongs, and it's just amazing how you can handle, actually, because I got a phone call today in my car, which I could have been talking, but I can't talk and drive, so I had to pull over to have a conversation. So it's amazing, and I was chewing gum, and it's just amazing what you do, and when I'm on a ride-along, and I see you're juggling everything, watching for everybody and everything that's going on, as well as seeing what calls are coming in and where you need to go. So it's understandable that this person that was alongside or near the sergeant saw him kind of weaving a little bit. I mean, that's kind of understandable in what you have to do. But also the sergeant, and I guess all of you, need to take to heart that you really have to be aware of other people's perception of you doing that as well as that. So again, lesson learned. Nobody was hurt, and he just has got to be more cautious now. That's my opinion, as always. I always give my opinion.
Thank you. Kate, any comments, concerns, questions?
No, it's not. I think it was fair and thorough.
Can I get a motion?
Well, I'll move that we close this case fair and thorough, and it's 24-0119.
I'll second.
Jaime Tadeo?
Aye.
Ana Gomez? Kay Cowell?
Aye.
Nancy Hub?
Aye.
Pass by roll call vote of 3-0.
Thank you. Circling back to TPD presentation.
I attempted to make a phone call and sent a text message, and I did not get a response. So I don't know the whereabouts. I'd accept the appointment, but we will look to reschedule the presentation because it's a good one.
Okay.
It's a good one. The sheriff's department that loses their payment.
It's
not long. I don't think it's
about that. I think it's somewhere else.
Yeah, I checked my email, so I didn't have any notifications or anything like that. So I'll check into it. I imagine it's an oversight, and I apologize for that.
That's all good.
We'll get a reschedule.
Thank you. Moving on to agenda item number 7, Tucson Police Department, in accordance with provisions of the State Open Public Meeting Law. These items are listed on the agenda in order to allow TPD to present a brief summary of current events pursuant to provisions of ARS section 38-431.02. The board may not propose, discuss, deliberate, or take action at this meeting on any matter in the updates unless this specific matter is properly noticed of legal action at a subsequent meeting. TPD updates regarding events or developments related to TPD during the prior month.
That's me. So a couple of updates. We just had some of our employees return from Washington, D.C. They had the opportunity to attend National Police Week, which is an event, a memorial held every year in Washington, D.C. Some of our employees participated in the Law Enforcement United Bicycle Ride in honor of fallen officers, and then others attended the ceremonies at National Police Week. This year was especially important for us because we did have two officers added to the wall this year. Officer Adam Buckner, who passed away last March from an on-duty traffic collision, and then Detective Jason Southard, who passed away from COVID exposure that he obtained on duty back in November of 21. Both of them were added to the wall this year, so we had proper representation from their squads and their families to be there. So obviously a very sad but honorable opportunity for people to be able to attend that, and we're gracious that we were allowed to send some people to be there for that. So that's one thing. We are coming into the summer. We know historically that summertime sees a bit of an increase in criminal activity, both violent crime and property crimes or quality of life crimes. We have a lot of initiatives going on within the police department to try to manage those increases that were going to happen. Property crimes tend to increase, where we see a lot of juvenile involved crimes in the summer because juveniles are out of school. So they're filling their time with unproductive activities, unfortunately. We have put out some messaging within the departments or within the divisions of the school district to help the school districts share our call to action for parents and families to help ensure that the children are productively engaged and keep an eye on what they're doing, who they're hanging out with, bringing attention to street racing events, theft, curfew, fake cartridges. We're seeing a lot of criminal activity, violent crime related to the sale or robbery or trading of vape cartridges, which are THC cartridges that go into the, what do they call them? Like the nicotine, but there's THC versions of it. So we're working a lot of initiatives through our different units to address some of those concerns that are coming up. Budget, I touched on that the last time I was here with the failure of Prop 414. Obviously, the city is continuing to go through its budget process, and they are, they had a mayor council meeting today, in fact, so they're working through the different steps of the official budget process to see what that will look like. And we have quite a few people that are retiring or leaving the department, so we're seeking to backfill a lot of those positions just to continue with operations as necessary. So some updates. If anyone has any questions about anything that's going on or anything to share? Oh, yes, thank you. I appreciate that. I knew I was forgetting something. I know you guys probably saw in the news a couple weeks ago that Officer Ryan Vera was assaulted on duty. He had attempted to intervene at a Quick Trip convenience store on an individual that was shoplifting and had been told to leave the store. Quickly turned into a physical altercation, and he was significantly injured. Officer Vera spent about 6 days in the hospital. If I'm counting correctly, he had 20 stitches in his cheek. He has a fractured cheekbone, some fractures to a nasal bone. He's working through recovery of those injuries. He is home now. He's in good spirits, but it was a concerning interaction. It was one that escalated very quickly and started from a low-level criminal offense, right? A shoplifting where the clerk was trying to tell the individual to get out of there. And it turned violent pretty quickly, and unfortunately he was significantly injured. He is recovering well at home right now, so.
That's good to hear, because I saw it on the news in his face, and
yeah.
Just smashed with like a rock or something, was it?
So it was basically a blunt instrument, right? Got hit across the face with a hard object.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm glad he's doing well. Yeah. But awful. If I might just sort of add a little pitch, I saw Daryl. I went to this, and it was very moving and meaningful. And yeah, it was just a wonderful ceremony, a wonderful 21 gun salute, mm-hmm. and the roses and the family members of the officers who still were there. It was very meaningful. So I would like to know about it in the future. And I assume through a TPD website or something I could find out, or through Mitch, that we know about it so we can attend and come in and offer our condolences and our thanks to the officers. Anyway, it was very meaningful. I'm really glad I was able to be there.
Yeah, I saw you there. Thank you for coming. Yep. That is our Tucson Police Memorial. So in May, yep. It's always basically Memorial Month. That's when they hold the National Memorial. They also hold the State Memorial. And the different agencies will hold a local memorial. So ours, we held last week because of the travel to the State Memorial as well as the National Memorial. Tonight, I believe, is Pima County Sheriff's Department. So different agencies do different things for their memorials. It is a nice time to come around and reflect on the officers we've lost over the years.
And I got to see Tony De La Osa.
One of your favorites.
One of my favorites. And of course, I saw Daryl in uniform for a change. I was like, wait a minute, he's all dressed up. But Tony was there. And I saw, Mitch, you'll remember, it used to be Lieutenant Lane, but now he told me he's a captain. But I saw him and said, I remember you from years ago. But that's nice, he's a captain now. So yeah, it was really special to be there. So I'm glad I got to attend.
Pretty nice. A question? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. No, I was just thinking of reminding me because I didn't mean to mention that. So.
Last week we had a a second hatchet assault at a bus stop. And I don't know whether or not that's being considered a trend, or is that something TV's looking at, and how that might be able to be addressed, if possible?
Yeah, it's I wouldn't call it a trend. It's a kind of a coincidence, I would say. You know, without getting into the specifics of the case, because the investigation is still somewhat ongoing, there are a lot of complex underlying issues involved in both of those cases. They were not related in any way. I mean, the individuals, the motives, you know, stuff like that. They both happened to happen at bus stops, at or near bus stops. So, you know, to me, it goes to the complex issues that we face as a community, right? We drive down the street, we see individuals that are loitering at and around the bus stops. Many of them clearly need some sort of assistance and or treatment or resources. And it is, as a community, you know, our struggle with engaging appropriately into those services and really finding sustainable solutions. We can't arrest away the problems. We can't treat away the problems. We can't, you know, environmentally change the areas to fix all the problems. But all of those systems have to work together and really be able to identify issues early on whenever we can, and then obviously intervene before critical incidents like that happen.
If I could, I went to the Alvernon Grant meeting last week, and that was one of the topics that they talked about, because Ronnie, who many of you know from Palo Verde, she runs that meeting, and I do the one over here for Fifth Alvernon. And we're really pushing hard for mayor and council to start charging for bus fares, because the free buses just encourage, we believe, people moving for drug use, drug sales, drug buying, and congregating at the bus stops for those purposes. And so we're really pushing, and Ronnie encouraged everybody, I did, I know, and others did, write letters to mayor and council asking please to quit the free buses and give vouchers to the people in need. Of course there are people in need, but give them a voucher with a picture ID, and then everything is, you know, just more obvious to the bus, and we feel sorry for the bus drivers because it must be a challenge every day for them. So anyway, we neighbors are, we get together and we're pushing to have that changed. We were pushing for the medians, the people off the medians, so I'm seeing less of that. So
the median ordinance, well, to talk on your first point, and that's a perfect example of the complex issues, right? Like, there's not one stakeholder that can solve those issues alone. We do frequent deployments at and around the bus stops in the areas where we know there's issues. But sometimes it works for a short period of time, and then as we move somewhere else, it, you know, the problems come back. And so it is a complex issue with short-term, long-term interventions that we hope to get good solutions out of. You mentioned the medians. Median ordinance went live last month in April. We have been doing deployments on the medians where officers can have contact with individuals. They give verbal warnings, written warnings, and or citations. So we're not, it's not a, you know, enforcement only type of situation, but the ordinance went live because we have safety concerns. We have a lot of collisions at the intersections, and we've had some that have involved pedestrians in those areas. So it doesn't prohibit, it's not about people using their First Amendment right, it's about safety and crossing the streets. So they have to safely and efficiently cross the streets. So. We do hope that you are seeing less individuals in the medians.
Definitely.
As we move around and educate. You know, some of it is just educating, because a lot of the individuals we contact don't realize that there's a new ordinance. So part of it is getting that education out there first.
Is it being crossing the street through the medians, or like panhandling?
So stopping. They can't stop and remain for more than a light cycle. So. Many of the medians, the raised medians, have basically that island, right? So it's not, you can't get across the entire street. They can stay appropriately for the cycle that would get them to the next walk signal. But they can't stay past that. So, yeah, it's a short period of time.
One of the things I've seen, I mean, you can move one problem, and sometimes it just moves on somewhere else. But it's So now I see people not on the median, because maybe they got the message. But they stay on the sidewalk on the far right side. And they're on the sidewalk, and then you've got a turn lane.
Kind of worse.
And traffic does not stop at a turn lane, they're going through, right? And so they're asking for money from the straight through lanes, which is one lane over, and nobody's arm is long enough to reach from window to person. So I see them now entering the roadway, which is much more dangerous than it was to be in the median. So I don't know how that's going to progress, but there's always, you know, there's always going to be a way that if people are making money, they're going to continue to do it. I mean,
we're getting food, you know, that work by one of my part-time jobs at a place that's right next to it, that Forbes and Brand, basically the bottom. And so you have, I tell you, that Circle K track across, getting off a grant, going into my job, going into the Forbes, is I stop every day. It doesn't matter what time it is, because they're crossing to go to Circle K, or they're crossing to go across to the side where the Arizona state has their compound. And so what I've noticed is that the people who go to give food pull them off to the side right by the river, you know, out of the way, which is cool. They have a tent set up and they do this, and they give them food and stuff, which I appreciate, and I know they do too. But, you know, they're doing the right thing by pulling them off the street. Because it is, I mean, I'm a giver. I'm guilty of doing it. I even throw it sometimes. So you got to keep moving, but it is dangerous. It always has been dangerous. But I know it's extremely difficult, and it's probably something that will never go away.
Oh, that's right. Okay. I totally spaced out that I was in charge.
You are in charge. Yes. You are the mayor. Whether you like it or not.
Thank you for the informative brief and comments. And, you know. All right. I'm going to read the Office of Professional Standards updates regarding events of developments relating to the Office of Professional Standards during the prior month.
That's me. My office is not
me. He just has a nice little office in our office, but he's not the office.
Also, then it's you. So I'm going to.
Yes, it's me.
Okay, then it's
Rosette Gomez. The only couple of updates I have is one, we're finally at full force. We have our last sergeant that started with us last month. So when the summer starts taking up with more calls for service, I'm sure we're going to get a lot more complaints, so we're ready for that. The only thing I have, and I think Mitch can talk a little bit more about it, we're working in conjunction with our research and analysis to update our use of force dashboard, which means we will then be transparent in the uses of forces that our officers use and show the trends within, I think it's the last 5 years. Not directly out of our office, it's out of our academy, but we look at cases that potentially could be out of policy, is what we do. Not ready for the public yet, but I think Mitch was able to point a bunch of stuff to say, hey, how do we do a better job of explaining it to the public? Because a lot of it is a lot of numbers and what it means, and so looking forward to see how that ends up turning out to be able to provide it for you guys.
Yeah, that dashboard is designed for many purposes. It's designed for a researcher. It's designed for somebody in graduate school that wants to put something together. Yeah, so a professional who may be familiar with statistics and can pull things and knows what they're looking for. And then it's also designed for a community member who says, let me just bang a few numbers out and see, I'm interested in the crime in that area or the use of force in that area based on the socioeconomic status or race. The problem that we saw, we only met one time so far, and by the way, if anybody's interested in possibly, can I extend an invitation if anybody's interested?
I think so. I mean, it's a small focus group, but it's
a very small focus group, and there are community members in there. If you have an interest in that, talk to me later, but it wasn't designed terribly well for the community members. It needs a lot more definition. I think the way it was set up, the expectation was everybody had a shared understanding of some of the terms, and that was not the case. So, you know, that's the whole point of the focus group, is, you know, throw it out there and listen to feedback and hopefully make it a better product. And they are interested in doing that. They really are. So they go back, and we'll see what happens in the next iteration. But they're very serious about getting that online as soon as possible.
That's all I have. Unless anybody has any questions?
Not for me. Thank you. Moving on to agenda item number 8, Office of Independent Police Auditor, monthly contacts. This report covers TPD-related contacts by members of the public with the Office of Independent Police Auditor during the previous month. Who's that?
That is
Mitch.
That's
Mitch. We'll take that one, too.
No, that's you, buddy.
I knew that. It's just
all right, so Ward 5 got a new council member, right? That's Rocky, and he says Rocky, Perez. And I met with him and spent some time yesterday. We talked about many things, including Seat Park and some of the things I'll bring up right now. One of the things I also did prior to meeting with Council Member Perez is I contacted the clerk's office because I wanted to make sure that Carlos wasn't going to be thrown out because former Council Member Fibris resigned. And in fact, he is not. And no. I'm sorry, you look disappointed.
Don't try to read my face.
You're still here.
I have comments.
All the appointments made by former council member Fimbres stay in place until the conclusion of his term. After which, if Rocky Perez becomes the newly elected council member, then he would need to make appointments. So. I said some nice things about Carlos, but we'll see whether or not that wins again and Carlos would be reappointed. So anyway, that's kind of how that works for boards and commissions. Council Member Perez is extremely interested in Sea Park. He himself has sat on a city, maybe more than one, board and sees the value in that and engaging the community. And you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we talked about legislative intent from Phoenix in creating that 80-hour training program and how clearly the intent was to destroy, and I don't think there's a better word for it, a civilian oversight. I listened to the arguments during the committee meetings, and it was very obvious. And it does have that negative effect. It's very difficult, as you all know, having had to go through these hours. So we talked about maybe trying to make some things better. One of the things that came up was a suggestion, maybe offer a financial stipend to interested CPARC members who want to come on board and say during the course of that 80 hours, maybe you get some money for it. I mean, to offer something, it's a lot. I mean, it's a lot just to be here. I mean, you know what it is. You're here at the meeting and all the hours you put in prior to looking at the cases and preparing. So, but he's very interested. So if anybody has suggestions, and really from your side, on what could make a CPAR more attractive and to recruit, let me know, please. Council members, absolutely interested. Absolutely is. I've never seen somebody this interested, so I think we should take advantage of it.
When I was on 2016 to 2019, I kept harping on nobody knows we exist. Or I won't say nobody, because clearly we know.
We know.
but so few people, just my old name did, so few people know that we even do what we do. And I mean that for all the boards. I know. Parks has a board, transportation, I mean, there are so many city boards. And I just think public awareness is really important. And I remember I was harping on let's make these brochures, and I still have it from way back then. So anyway, I still think, so I'll just drop that again, public awareness.
Okay.
Can you be a city employee and be part of the city part of the board?
Nope. Okay. You can't even be a part-time employee.
That's, I understand. That's why I asked.
And I quit today.
And you have a felony conviction?
Oh, shit. I'll leave now.
And you have to live in the city limits.
Okay.
No felony? You can't have a felony conviction?
Correct.
And be on CPAR?
Correct.
You gotta go.
I gotta go.
No.
You gotta go. I gotta go.
No, but...
Roy, go with this.
Hello.
I'm hearing.
Don't do that.
It was a joke.
So, if you know people that are interested, if there's something that suggests, as far as the awareness goes, been there, done that, and one of the, but I look at it differently, because I was part of putting that brochure together, and so everybody could have a shared set of talking points instead of everybody kind of scrambling differently. And I do outreach all the time, and when I go to groups and I talk to them about me or I talk about CPAR, everybody comes up afterwards, and they'll say, you know what, I appreciate very much what you do, it's great that you're doing that, but I don't have problems with the police. But it's nice to know you're doing that. So my takeaway is I'm never going to get, you know, the kind of interest that you're talking about maybe getting when I'm out there. But at least if they remember there's a guy in the city, that there's something like that. So if they bump into somebody who does have a police complaint down the road, they might say, well, I remember there's a guy, and maybe reach out. But I think that says good things about TPD, the fact that there's just not a whole lot of people clamoring. You know what, this is a very true across the country. I've talked to community boards that go out and meet in certain neighborhoods just to be able to continue to try to attract people. I mean, it's a lot of places have this problem. I remember, I guess it was in Annabelle, yeah, in one of her early terms did a TV piece about CPAR. And we asked for interest. And we got a little bit of interest. Nobody wanted to follow up after we talked to them. Maybe it's our fault, I guess. But there was a piece about that. And your ordinance provides that you can do these outreaches too. And that's, again, one of the reasons for that brochure. Bring a bunch with you. Go to neighborhood meetings. Go to church groups. You know,
are there any more of those?
That's you know, I can give you more of those brochures if you want. We still have them. They are still current. So, I mean, again, your ordinance provides that you can do that. So if you want to say there's not enough awareness, do something about it. That's my answer.
Who Mitch, you know, I try.
It's incumbent upon you to do it. No one else can do it. So, if you're serious, let me know. I'll help set it up for you. Like I said, I do outreach all the time, and I can help talk you through it. So,
if you would next time, if you've got more of these,
sure, absolutely,
make copies, bring, and then we can distribute, or maybe if there needs to be, I don't think there needs to be any updates, but maybe. Maybe some of it, but
sure,
anyway.
Sure.
Thank you.
And I would continue to suggest, as I have before, you need to recruit people on the CPAR. I mean, some of you guys are going to be timing out relatively soon, and if you don't have a quorum, you're not going to meet. So that is also something that Council Member Fedez is interested in, and he's going to see certainly what he can do to try to attract people here. You know what this is. You know what it involves. Get people to come out. Get people to come out. All right. One of the things that, another outreach that you could do, you've heard me talk about DAC, DAC meetings before, right? You know if you all remember what that is? If you don't, that's okay.
It
stands for Division Advisory Council or Committee?
Okay. I say committee. So.
Okay, not committee. And it's where the substation opens its doors. Of course, the head of the substation is going to be the captain. So the captain of that substation is here, along with the lieutenants and sergeants usually. And the community is invited. And if you're on their list to be notified, it's usually coordinated by a community service officer. And that chain of command will give a short talk about that specific area, whether it's Operations Division East, Operations Division South, Operations Division West, or Operations Division Midtown. And they'll talk about that specific area, and they'll talk about specific concerns or trends and things maybe going on in that specific area. And then the nice part about it, too, is the floor is then open. So if you want to, if you want the ear of the chain of command, you're never going to get better time than that. And they're there exactly for that reason, to listen. So you can bring things up when you're talking, not to somebody from Operations Division East, about a problem that's happening on the south side. I mean, they're both going to say they care, obviously, and they will, but they're not going to care as much as the chain of command in the area in which you're having your problem. So my suggestion in the outreach could be, because I go to these things, and I'm listening, and if somebody has a problem with the police, you bet I've got business cards in my pocket, and I'm going to approach them, and I have. And if somebody happens to be very verbal, I've brought people in who have sat on the force review board. And I, you know, I mean, if you can stand up in that group and talk and you show me that you've got some analytical skills and you can be objective, you bet, you bet. So you guys can do that too. I mean, you all represent certain wards. So if Ward 3 wants to go to, Ward 3 is a DAC meeting, DAC, Division Advisory Committee, get on this list. And come out and sit around. And recently, some of the DACs have been organized where they have resources, a giant horseshoe shaped. And the captain sets it up at that point, again, community service officer. And maybe you get, you know, one of these, and you're sitting up there too, and the community members can see you, and they'll know that there's this thing called CPAR. And you have an opportunity to speak if you like. So it's already set up for you. So I'm not sure what. You would not take advantage of that, quite frankly. You're appointed by, you know, the South Side. Go out to Operations Division South. They have them all the time. Four times a year, average. If you're not sure when they are, ask me. Operations Division South just had theirs. Very well attended. They put out good food. Operations Division East is having theirs on June 26th. And it runs from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Operations Division West, do you know where these stations are? Is having theirs tomorrow from 6 to 8. You don't need any pre-planning. You can just show up. If you'd like a seat at the big table, you probably should let them know ahead of time you're going to be there, but it's not required. So.
What about Midtown?
Midtown, we're still working on that. Yeah. The captain is off right now. And I've already spoken to the lieutenant about it, or we're hoping to get that set up pretty soon. That's, as you know, a kid who's a relatively new captain out there. So I have been dogging him, actually. So hopefully.
Really?
Oh,
really,
yeah. I have no shame. So I've been after him. Open the doors and let's get the community invited.
He's out on parental leave right now.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He'll be.
Yeah. Oh, no, I know that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's a good guy, but he is relatively new to that, say, that area. So, and then the problem too is, as you just heard, there's so much movement in TPD.
Yeah.
Just when somebody tries to land somewhere, the next thing you know, they're gone, somebody else comes in. And so, it's important, I think, for the new captain and the lieutenants, new sergeants, to introduce themselves to the people that are there. I mean, the people that are there generally are interested, obviously, they're heads of their neighborhood associations, for example. Hopefully, businesses in the area, I'd like to see that expand a little bit more. It takes work to get a lot of people in, and they have the same kind of problems you do, trying to get somebody interested. I've seen them very well attended, and I've seen some that have not been so well attended. But again, as CPAR members, if you want to go out and do some outreach, great way to do it. You're talking directly to your ward. If you don't remember anything I've said and you have questions, just ask me about it. I'd be happy to share it. Anybody have any questions about that?
Attending those, would it count towards the training?
Sure, why not? Yeah. Absolutely.
And tomorrow's West Side, 6 to 8?
Yeah, 6 to 8. And you don't have business cards? I know that, but I got the brochures, and you can scratch your name and number down there, and then I pass those out as well.
Can we take our name tags?
We charge a fee.
So I'd like to see a CPAR presence anyway. I mean, there's not a whole lot of civilian oversight folks there except for me, so It'd be nice to have some company in that regard. And there are people who get very vocal. There really are, so I think it's a good thing to attend. Professional staff investigators have a an academy in progress. Are you familiar with what that is?
No.
Put it on you again.
Yeah, absolutely. Professional staff investigator is a newer job classification for us. We've had one class so far. They've been in place for a little over a year now. It's been a successful program, so we ran another recruitment. Basically, they are professional staff or civilian employees, so they're not sworn peace officers, but they are hired with educational background and or investigative experience, and they supplement our detective units to help with investigations. And they can basically do anything but actions that require a gun and a badge. They can't arrest, you know, they can't serve a search warrant, they can assist with search warrants, but they can do interviews, they can do investigations, and so they help supplement our staffing woes in some of our detective units. But also what that does is, even if we had twice the number of detectives we have in our units, that doesn't mean that every single case can be assigned. So it allows for some additional cases to be assigned, faster responses, so it's better response for the community. So it's been a successful program so far. This is new for us, and obviously we're interested in expanding, so we're glad that we have these other additional investigators coming in.
Yeah, I did see a piece. I usually watch Channel 9, so it's probably on Channel 9. I did see a piece on it now, PSI, I remember them saying, I was like, okay, we got the CSOs, and now sort of under them are the PSIs in totally a different role, but...
Yeah, different role, but they're both professional staff positions. They both answer to a sergeant, so rank-wise they're the same. They just have different backgrounds and different roles within the agency.
They both have tailor-made academies, and it's not as, if you go to AZ Post and say, show me where these folks are in other police departments, you're not going to see it, because it's specific to DPD. It has been very successful. And if anybody's interested, or if you know anybody interested in CSO position, or police position, or professional staff position, they would talk to you.
Any of us. Any of us get you in touch with the recruiter for those types of positions. And to say, there are many different jurisdictions across the country that have similar type programs where they're supplementing staffing with civilian personnel. So there's different models out there. They just call different things.
Y'all are full-time?
They're full-time. They have full-time benefits, hourly.
Do you guys post that at the colleges?
I don't know if the recruiters are specifically doing that, but they do go to the colleges and engage in those job fairs, and when they go do that, they take all of their positions. So it is one, because I know, you know, being a female, I hear from a lot of people who are like, oh, well, I've always wanted to be a police officer, but I'm not a single mom, and I couldn't do that. And I'm like, well, you can. You can do it. But some people aren't quite ready to make that leap yet, so it is another option. It expands our hiring pool and can get more diverse applicants in the door. So thank you.
Another thing I saw, can I keep going?
I was gonna continue, but go ahead.
Okay. Very, very quickly. This past week I was out, there was a protest with I don't know if it's the Students of Justice in Palestine or what their group might be, Palestinian protest for lack of a specific term. We're out in front of the Loft Theater this past week when the Loft Theater was showing a movie called October 8th about the massacre, of course, in Israel. And it was, the movie's large, and it's a documentary. It's not an actor's movie. And largely about anti-Semitism on campus. And there was a decent number of protesters that were there, and by and large behaved themselves. There were a couple people that had 6-foot poles with a huge cloth protest sign that were blocking the entryway to pull into their parking lot, for example, and cars were backing up on speedway, became dangerous, and then you get some knuckleheads that just aren't gonna be patient and start driving through this thing. And so, when you're holding one pole and another and something goes through the middle, it winds up pulling you in. And one guy got bounced off a car. But by and large, really, nobody got hurt, and at the end of it, I can tell you, nobody got arrested. The police were there in sufficient numbers. They had planned for it ahead of time. They adapted their plan appropriately. I think they did a really good job. The fact that nobody got arrested, nobody got hurt, it says a lot. So that was this past week. I was there for that. What else before I may say the shut up?
Good words. Make it quick.
We talked about how the community is watching driving, right? You had that case. Mm-hmm. And I see this a lot. I get calls all the time about that. I get calls saying, you know, a cop is parked at a handicap spot, and I didn't see his handicap. Now, you know, an officer's responding to Walmart and needs to get there in a hurry, or she needs to get there in a hurry, and there's an assault going on. The ordinance, the city ordinance specifically states in the course of your duties, you don't have to, if you're a police officer, abide by the parking ordinance. People don't know that. And I like to take the opportunity, if I can, to explain that, but a lot of people make anonymous complaints. I don't even know who it is. I'd love to be able to tell them about it. But I'll tell you what, there are community members that have seen that kind of thing and say, and they follow the officer in. We had this case, we had this at OPS. And film the officer buying diapers and juice. And then go, ah, my God. And you know what? I got to believe it's not a majority of officers that do that. But as you can imagine, it doesn't take many to get one officer abusing, because that's really what that is, the process. And it really screws it up for an awful lot of other officers. I think it's a really boneheaded thing to do. I mean, how lazy can you possibly be? You're a police officer, you're in a car, and you're healthy enough to do your job, you carry a gun, walk 5 steps, park in a legit spot. So there are community members that go that far, and I believe that complainant wanted to be an EC2, just an informal complaint, and have it addressed by that sergeant supervisor. It was a sergeant that but there are people that are filming. We tell people at the academy all the time, be aware, you're always going to get filmed. Somebody's watching you somewhere. Just do the right thing and you don't have to worry about it. I'm done.
All right.
Thank you,
Mitch. All right, moving on to agenda number 9, CPART vacancies, which is so far Ward 1, Ward 2. About Ward 1, I am having a colleague apply. I don't know if it's gone through the application. Who do I talk to?
The clerks will get that.
Have you all received an application for Ward 1?
I don't know at this time. That would be Rick or Renee.
Okay. I'll reach out to
Rick. But you can send it to boards and commissions and ask.
Okay. Yeah, we'll be able to finally do this seat, fill it up. All right, moving on to agenda item number 10, future agenda items. We have the presentation for today.
I did, yeah, I got a response from Gail. She was tied up on a warrant and wasn't gonna get here in time. We went through everything super fast, so don't rush across town. She's available for June 17th. So we can bump it to the 17th if that works for you guys.
That works for me.
Okay.
All right. So next meeting's gonna be Pride Month, June 17th. And with that, we're gonna...
Mr. Chair, sorry.
Yeah.
I don't mean to interrupt. I just wanted to real quickly, apologize for the city attorney not being available for the last few meetings, and also introduce our new attorney, new with our office, not a new attorney, Jacob and Zenzen, who will be representing the city attorney's office here at these meetings from here on.
Awesome.
And I just realized, not related to
Kate.
Yeah, we have the same. I'm a Calvin by birth, and then I saw, and I said, oh wow, there's another one. It's a rare name, you don't really find many as well.
It's the idiot's last name.
Yeah. So I was surprised.
Don't say that.
Well, welcome. Happy to
help
you.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. 6:28. adjourning this meeting.
Thank you.
That's it, right?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yep.
Good job.
Hi, Dave. Hey, yeah.
Love you. Okay, so I maybe it washed. It got smudged. Nobody turned me around, yeah.
I didn't notice here.
It's almost over.
It's a one-way. I couldn't figure that out.
I knew we had the wrong.
So I gotta look at my schedule. I gotta work at 3:00. I don't think I have any.